am unto you a surrender. Lord, there is none like you. Know that I am unto you a surrender. Lord, there is none like you.
So in love with you. room. I wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. I don't wanna talk about you. You're not in the room. I wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. I don't wanna talk about you. Not in the room. I wanna look right at you. Wanna sing right to you.
Your Lord forever.
Every knee shout out. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, you're forever.
Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, your Lord, forever. Every tongue confess.
Thank you. Yeah.
in your river. We're gonna flow in your river. We're gonna dance, 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 dance. We're gonna dance, 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 dance. We're gonna dance in your river. We're gonna dance in your river. We're gonna drink in your river. We're gonna drink in your river of life. Oh God, we're gonna dance.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm
with you. It's all I crave is you. It's all I want is you. All I crave is you.
When some people say you got to do, maybe it's to not do. So can we just bow our heads and ask for God's blessing? Father, unless you anoint this word, it's just going to be a word. So I'm asking you to anoint this word and make it holy. Make it so that my brothers and sisters can come to life. And a new understanding of themselves, not only by the power of your grace that completes us, but your mercies that endure forever. Amen? Now, I know that if you're anything like me, you can be doing quite well emotionally and spiritually, and all of a sudden there's a pothole. And you not only put one foot in it, but usually put both feet. And after the fact, the pattern that usually hits my mind is something like, Well, when will you be holy? Well, when will you be pure? Or, when will you be accepted? Or when will you really be loved? Well, if you were sanctified, oh, if you were honored, what would all these things change if you had all these things now? What would happen to you and I if we really felt holy, loved, pure, sanctified, accepted, and honored? What would happen to us? We would rise. We would rise and we would awaken to the reality, wow, this life is really, really sweet. But instead, we listen to this type of accusation. When will it happen? When will I have the emotions that match what God says about me? When? All right. How many will agree with Heather? Right now, because it's already been done. The problem with you and me is because we just don't accept it. We condemn ourselves. We don't need an enemy. We've got this wonderful thought pattern that says, when will you be holy? Well, when you act holy, when you react sanctified. I hate to say it, but it's a trick question because all of this has already been done by Christ. The job we have is to renew our minds. And it's not easy to do, so I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to talk a little bit about the divine exchange that Christ has already completed. The problem is my old brain is set in old patterns of the law. St. Paul had a problem with the Corinthians with this. I have a problem with Kim with this. And I believe I have a problem with the body of Christ with this. 2 Corinthians 5. 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for me, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God. I might become, meaning it's a free will decision that needs to be made on my part to accept it and then to declare it. Now, if Romans 10, 9 and 10 says salvation is brought by the declaration of your mouth, I believe you're going to have to activate your mouth concerning that victory. And is it in your Bible that he already took care of everything because God made him to be sin for me, so that in him I might become? Might is showing us that ability to choose is still left to you and I. The accuser sits on your shoulder, or inside your brain if you wish, and he begins to show you every flaw, every corner that you fail in, and he gets you to believe that what you fail in is the real you. And I could take you to Romans 7 and show you that St. Paul had the same problem as you, even as a mature man of God. And we've been over this before, but I sense that, you know, unless we repeat this over and over, it just doesn't go deep enough. And the mind still says, well, if you were holy, if you were sanctified, if you were honored, if you were all these other things, and we could go on because the list goes a lot deeper than the just a few six things I gave you. Now let's go back. Verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our minds, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Notice there's a season of both. Amen? Sometimes I'm not in my right mind. I remember the first time I heard that message by John Paul Jackson and his little prayer. I never forgot it. I never want to forget it. Okay? Well, God, I'm not in my right mind right now. I'm doing some real stupid stuff. My mouth is going in the wrong direction. Please forgive me. I'm not me right now. Can you relate? Who is doing the sin? Is it you? Or is it sin in you? And if it's sin in you, then you're not guilty. And you can claim Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1 again tells you there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, let's go back. 14. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Do you feel dead when you're being ugly? Not me. Do you feel dead when you're feeling stupid and being mistreated or done a bad choice? No. But God says you're already dead. The old you has died with him in baptism. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Now, see, that's a real sweet scripture there. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. That's a trigger, isn't it? If you haven't got an underline on that themselves, you'll miss the point. How many know we can worship at myself? Me, myself, and I has pretty good stature. And I worship there quite often. Don't even realize I'm doing it, but I've been there. And when I'm there, I'm not conscious that I'm dead. If I was, I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be participating in that old nature. But since I'm not conscious of it, that proves I'm not in my right mind. Therefore, it's not really me doing it. And I can really begin to separate the two and see that the new creation man is not in the control room all the time. Okay? Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Oh. Well, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That's an intense statement just in itself. Do you regard yourself from a worldly point of view? If you do, you're in trouble. And St. Paul says we shouldn't do that. See, discernment of spirits should give you a clue how the enemy is really the cause of some of your battle. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do not do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If. Big word, two small letters, but it conditions you to accept that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, are you ministering reconciliation To yourself. I can bring reconciliation to almost anybody, but myself, I usually leave in the frying pan. Can we change that tonight? Can you take yourself out of that frying pan and stop rolling yourself over to see if you're well done and burnt enough? Because that's not God. It really is not. And if you've got somebody else in the frying pan, stop it. Okay? They might be frying themselves. You don't need to help them. Amen? Because if they have any clue of what they've done to you, they're already under the accuser's anointing. Oh, come on. Try it a little louder. All right. See, sometimes we want to straighten out somebody. You ever like trying to straighten them out? And boy, should they know better. And after all, you're going to be the anointed teacher. Amen? What are you doing? Should you really put them in the frying pan when they're already in there by themselves? Let the Lord take care of them. They may not need your help at all. And the recovery would be so much better if you let God do it. You know why? Because I messed with him. I messed with her. I messed with she. It doesn't matter. Whoever it is that's been under that anointing of accusing, leave them alone. Pray and intercede for them in the spirit. Because you don't know how to pray for them. You ain't that smart. And if you think you are, you're full of pride. So you better repent quick. That's a good sermon, by the way. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, not Christ's dictators. Ambassadorship is not a dictator. Trying to straighten out everybody else's life? Lousy, lousy, lousy job. Again, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made himself, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, when Jesus carried my sin, a lot of times we misunderstand, I think, the fullness of what God was really, really doing about rectifying what happened in heaven thousands and thousands of years before. When Satan took over, made a mess of everything, and released a third of heaven to follow him, you know, that created complete chaos. And until Jesus went up there with his blood, even humanity, who had chosen to follow and submit to the deceiver, needed to be reconciled. And you know, I heard a message a while back, which was kind of neat. And the question was, why can't Satan be reconciled to God? Anybody know why? Foreknowledge? Okay. I was kind of drawn by this particular piece of information, which I thought was kind of neat. Hollywood is always trying to create an antichrist with a false pregnancy or a antichrist born under the anointing of some demon spirit. And if you look at the Old Testament, there was some of that went on. But, you see, I believe when Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, was able to bring purity back into humanity, when he came through that womb, that made him fully man. Satan cannot be fully man. Never. You have to go through a womb in order to get here fully as a man. And when I heard that, I thought, wow. Look at the wonder of our God. Look at the awesomeness of his plan to actually release his spirit and bring about a new creation, totally pure, and still use the channel for birth. I want you to go a little higher. I want you to close your eyes. I believe right now that same process is ongoing in the body of Christ. I believe that right now the Holy Ghost is trying to impregnate his bride. I believe that right now the bride is coming alive with a pregnancy that will outsmart the enemy again. Because you see, they wanted to kill every boy, even up to 2 years old. How many abortions have there been in our country and all over the world? Because they're trying to kill what's about to happen in this generation. And guess what? God says, I'm going to have a pregnancy that no man is going to impregnate, but my spirit's going to do his work again. And it's going to be by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not going to be by the natural human power. It's not going to be the plans of some wonderful brain power of some guy or woman or man. Doesn't matter. I believe the Holy Ghost is impregnating now many saints to come alive in Christ so that they can be what they've been called to be and not be afraid to say, I am holy. I am a saint. I am sanctified. I am honorable before God and before man. And I am going to do the job that God says I'm going to do because it's He that's doing the work. It's not me. You got it. Can't give it to you anymore. You got to go back to that same scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And God, of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, that's the pregnancy. Don't tell me pregnancy is comfy. It's not. I watched my wife twice over. Will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It's not an accident when that baby comes. He's not going to be a weak baby. He's going to be an awesome, awesome, powerful bride for the Lord Jesus. To live through, to heal through, to set the captives free through. He's going to do the same thing again. Because he loves us. Put your hand over your hearts. Say, Lord Jesus, adjust my thinking. Give me the right mind for myself so that I can truly believe that the one I carry is Christ Jesus and he will come alive in maturity in me and do a cleaning in the earth just like he did the first time around. Because the answer to his prayer, greater works will we do. And that's part of me and you. Hallelujah. You got it. Any additions? Can you be the anointed ambassador tomorrow? Can you be the anointed ambassador tonight? And amen. Just be a blessing to each other. May the Lord Jesus continue to work with you as you go forth. And those who are listening to this message, I pray that you're changed. And you really look at that word tonight and wake up. Wake up and see who you really are. And who God says you are. And agree with him for a change. Amen? Be in your right mind.